And we actually asked the audience, okay, what do you think you would use in this situation? And you can see, interestingly, they're split between apalutamide, enzalutamide, and interestingly, abiraterone, which is an interesting thought. We also asked the audience, okay, same situation, but let's put cost and reimbursement issues aside. So now we would have the idea of apalutamide, which of course has not been approved. And you see a big bump in people who would want to do that. So Oliver, again, there's a huge absolute benefit here, you know, 30% chance. You're going to reduce the risk, at least temporarily. Any comments about your choice of therapy, Oliver?
Well, you know, first of all, we have really good data for apalutamide, darolutamide, and enzalutamide. And we have actually no good data for the abiraterone. But it's very reasonable to extrapolate, in my mind, the abiraterone into the space. So how do we choose if...
Could I just ask, though, if a patient came to see you as a second opinion, and the first opinion had recommended abiraterone, would you say, okay, that's fine, or would you say, I don't think that's the best choice?
Well, I would simply explain that we don't really have a lot of data, although we do have data in the castrate-sensitive disease and the castrate-resistant disease. It's kind of in between. There's every reason, in my mind, to believe that it'd be quite active. One of the things that is different about abiraterone is that it's now generic. And the cost is going to drop dramatically, not dramatically now because we only have one generic, but as we end up with two, three, and four generics, there's going to be a plummeting of the price. And, you know, there's also the possibility, and I'm going to be a little bit of a provocateur here, of using something intermittently. And, you know, there's some patients who might or might not feel good about being on a drug forever, but if they respond well, they may want to try it and see.
So you're saying intermittent androgen agonist?
Intermittent,
you stop everything?
Yeah. Well,
or just
no,
the LHRH agonist?
No, you keep your LHRH going. I wouldn't go to the point now.
Oh, just intermittent?
Yeah, I've had patients absolutely positively in my practice who've been on intermittent enzalutamide in this setting. They go on it, and they don't really like the way they feel, but they have a really good response. And so what they do is they'll take the good response. They say, well, hey, Dr. Sartor, I want a little holiday. And I think that's permissible. I don't think it's wrong to do that.
Let's get down to the bottom line, though. In terms of you walk into clinic on Monday, you can prescribe any one of these four drugs. Any preferences, Oliver?
You know, right now, the firmest data, and I haven't really gone over the darolutamide as much, you know, the apalutamide and enzalutamide are the strongest. And enzalutamide we have a lot of experience with. So, you know, I know the drug supplies and everything, so I'd probably consider the apalutamide.
I just want to quickly, since it's so important, kind of take the pulse of the whole faculty. Cora, which of these four agents, if you could give them all, would you generally want to use in a patient like this?
I would give enzalutamide, knowing that we have like a 71% reduction in the chance of metastases. And I have the most experience at having used enzalutamide in post-chemotherapy, before chemotherapy. In this setting, I don't have any experience with intermittent enzalutamide.
Emmanuel?
Well, I like darolutamide. I've never used it, but the safety profile seems very favorable, and the lack of CNS effects and lack of falls and ataxia, which seems to not be there with this one, would be a major attractive factor for me.
So, Howard, any preference among the four?
No, we've had most experience with both APA and ENZA, so it's for me, it's pretty much a toss-up. I was intrigued, certainly, by the data presented in terms of the safety profile, but don't have any experience with it.
Matt, are you ready to use
that? I've experienced them with all, and they're all good choices, and I'm probably going to individualize treatment based on patient profile.
Individualized treatment, like what kind of factors other than, say, financial, other than that? Any clinical factors?
Yeah. Well, you know, Emmanuel already commented on these issues of tolerability, and, you know, we have to acknowledge that there are not head-to-head trials, which is what you would really need to be sure that there are differences. APA and ENZA are far more similar than different. Darolutamide does seem to be distinct in some ways that Emmanuel commented on, and that may be a distinct advantage for certain patients who are at particular risk for those side effects.
So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out.